Canto 8. Now was the hour that longing turns around for sailors towards what they left behind. The hour that melts their hearts when, outward bound for just one day, the last light brings to mind that they have said goodbye to dearest friends. The hour that pierces the new pilgrim deep with love, if he should hear what the bell sends from far away, the sound of chimes that weep in mourning for the dying day. It ends in sadness, and I started not to hear Sordello, as a soul had caught my eye, who'd risen and made signs to catch my ear. He lifted his joined palms, stared at the sky eastward, and seemed to say, "Nothing I care for anything but that." A Latin phrase, "Te lucis ante," floated on the air, the prayer at nightfall. Such sweet interplay of notes came from his lips, and so devout that I was taken from myself, and then they all joined in and sang the hymn throughout, sweetly and piously, and once again they eyed the starry wheels of the divine. Now look with sharpened eye towards what's true, reader, for surely here the veil's so fine that going in is scarcely hard to do. I saw that noble host, without a sign nor word, pallid and humbled, look on high as if in expectation, and I saw appear above and come down from the sky two angels, and the flaming swords they bore were broken short without points. Garments green as leaves born just a breath ago they wore, trailing behind them. These clothes could be seen to fluctuate, made airy by their wings. One stopped and took his stand a little bit above us, and the other varied things by landing on the far bank, thus to fit the company between them. Their blonde hair was plain to see. Their faces, though, left me bedazzled, since no faculty can bear excess. "Both angels are the progeny of Mary's bosom," said Sordello. "They keep watch here on the valley, for the snakes will shortly come." Not knowing quite which way to turn, I turned around, chilled with the shakes, and sought the trusty shoulder. "Now let's go," Sordello said, "down there into the dell, and hear what those shades have to say. I know to see you walk alive will please them well." Only 3 paces downward, I believe, brought me below, and I saw one who stared at me as if, albeit looks deceive, he might have known me. Now the light so fared that the air already darkened, yet night's gain was not our loss. What was shut off before between his eyes and mine was now made plain. We stepped towards each other then, and more delighted I could not have been. What pain, noble Judge Nino, had you, being dead, been guilty too? But you were here. Between us two were no fine greetings left unsaid, and then he asked, "And how long has it been since you sailed on the distant seas that led to this high mountain road?" "The way I came," I said, "was through the sad realm, and it was this morning from the first life. All the same, I hope to gain the second life, because this leads to that." Judge Nino, having heard these thoughts, drew, like Sordello, a step back, as men bewildered by a sudden word who strive to find the clarity they lack. One turned to Virgil, and the other turned to someone seated there, and, "Conrad, rise!" he cried. "Come see what we have learned God's grace has willed. Stand up and feast your eyes." "To me, then, by those special thanks you owe to him who keeps the purpose of his will so secret, no one can completely know its nature. There's a task you should fulfill. When you return across the wide waves, show Giovanna, my dead daughter, where to plead my case, for heed is paid to innocence in heaven. Her poor mother now indeed no longer brings, I fear, to my defense much love for me. She gave up the white veil of widowhood, which she must now regret in misery. She shows us it must fail, the force of love, and women will forget in time, unless the flames by sight and touch are kept alert. The viper of Milan, which leads their troops afield, won't do as much to make so fair a tomb as I began to do with my device, which was the proud cock of Galura. Were we man to man, as one Visconti to another, bowed would that one be, and she would love me yet. He spoke like that, and as he did, his face with that invariable will was set which burns first in the heart and earns its place through piety. Meanwhile, my greedy glance kept going to the sky just where the wheel of stars slows, as spokes near the axle dance a stately measure. Virgil. Son, why steal so many looks up there? I seized the chance to have my question answered. What are those three torches I see flaming at the pole? And he. These three shine here at the day's close, where those four shone this morning. But their role is different. Supernatural virtues these betoken, while the others on the whole stand for the best of earthly qualities. While Virgil spoke, Sordello reached for him and held him, saying, Look, our enemy! Pointing a path into the air grown dim. And where the dell had no wall, we could see a snake, such as perhaps gave Eve the food, the bitter fruit. Through flowers and grass it slid, the vile streak, and it had the attitude, turning its head as often as it did, and licking its own back, of some smug beast that preens itself. I don't see just how, so can't say here, though I can hint at least. The holy falcon set out, but they now both plainly flew across the lesser light. The serpent heard their green wings cleave the air, and turned and fled back to its nest the night. The angels then regained their posts, a pair of hunting birds abreast. Meanwhile, the shade close to the judge, since he was called, did not one single moment shift his gaze. It stayed on me. So may it prove that you have got in your free will enough wax for the fuel the lantern needs to light you to the peak, the enameled summit, he began. The rule is, if you bring the news with you, then speak to me of Valdimagra or the land nearby, for there I once was very great, I, Conrad Malaspina. Understand, not the old Conrad who built our estate beside the sea, but nephew to him, and that loving care I lavished on my kin is here refined to proper love of God. I never came to where your lands begin, I said. The earth you owned I never trod. But who in Europe knows not the renown of you and yours? Your honored family name exalts your lords and holdings with a crown. Those who were never there revere your fame. But now you're here. And I can swear to you, as one who hopes indeed to go above, your honored line, whatever it might do, will never throw away the praise and love brought by its liberal purse and skillful sword. Nature and practice will take turns to bring such privilege when they're in close accord. The guilty head in Rome can't change a thing. Although he turned the world awry, your line goes straight alone and scorns the evil path. And he, true, true, that very thought is mine, and 7 years will bring an aftermath. Scarcely so often will the sun return to rest in that bed, which the ram bestrides with all of its 4 feet, before you learn such kind opinions can be nailed inside your brain by sharper nails than men can talk, driven by power far beyond men's pride. Unless God wishes can be held in balk, you will be there to see a sweet release from agony. My family will make peace.